This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. I want to talk to you today about our senses and how they can be engaged in spiritual life. The issue that we have to understand is that our senses are designed to be knowledge acquiring, and they are imperfect because they're material senses. Now, I'm going to cover a little bit about the difference between material senses and spiritual senses, and then we'll take a look at the application of the senses and then controlling of the senses. So we'll take a look at this in a couple stages today. So first of all, let's take a look at the senses that we have. Generally speaking, they're in the body, they're attached to the body, a component thereof. And they give us a relativity and an interaction with the material reality. But according to the Bhagavad Gita, the senses and the body take on this form because it's reflecting our true spiritual form. I'm sure all of you have heard that, you know, we're created in the image of God. So God's form is human, two hands, two legs, two eyes, etc. And so we are too. Our form is this way that we're used to. The difference is the Lord has completely transcendental senses. All of his senses can function like any of the other senses. They are not subject to the imperfections of this material manifestation. They're not subject to material nature. They're totally called transcendental, above all material aspects. And the Lord has unlimited potencies, and therefore his senses are extremely potent in all fields. The Lord can eat with his eyes. The Lord can hear with his hands. There's so many different things because they're so powerful, they're so sensitive, and they're of a completely different substance, spirit. Now we, you and I as living entities, we've discussed this many times on our program. We are eternal living entities, just like the Lord is an eternal living entity, and we are in these temporary bodies which cover us. Generally speaking, I never see you, you never see me. We perceive that I'm in the body through the consciousness we see in the eyes, or through the motion we perceive with the body. We can recognize that I am present in this body, but what I'm seeing, what you're seeing, is the body, not the living entity. So we have perfect transcendental senses like the Lord does, but in very small quantity. And those senses are covered by this material body and these material senses. So the problem with the material senses is they're imperfect. Again, we've covered this many times. You can't see through walls. You can only hear a certain spectrum. You can only see a certain spectrum. You can only sense the sensation of touch to a very short distance off the body. We see this in animals. You get near an animal and they'll wake up. You didn't touch them. You didn't make a noise, but you got near them. You stepped into their aura, and it set off a subtle plane alarm. They opened their eyes. We have that too. But we're so distracted in the material world, we don't tend to notice it or develop those skills and hone those. Nowadays, everything's so many electromagnetic and EMF and microwave frequencies going on. We've got white noise, they call it, background noise, that keeps us from using these subtle plane abilities of ours on a regular basis. But the animals, they're a lot better at it, okay? They don't have so many distractions as we do. So now the senses, as I said a moment ago, they're a knowledge-acquiring tools. We're supposed to hear and see. We're supposed to observe and sense and feel. All of these different things such that information moves from one source to us. And similarly, we're capable of rebroadcasting that information through the use of our senses, and someone else picks it up. Now, we know this is true in the sense that if you don't speak the same language as someone else, you still manage to get the point across. You're able to do nods and gestures, as well as some word association, expressions on your face, a variety of things that gets the message across even though they don't speak the same language. And so this is the situation we're actually in. We have these imperfect senses. We have to use them to acquire information into perspective, because that's the only kind of information that helps. Otherwise, it's called disinformation. And we have to correlate that information within the mind and the intelligence and evaluate it. And then we have to, in general, we have to compose a response. You ask me a question, I have to come up with a response. There's a problem, there's a car jumping the curb where I'm walking along, I have to get myself out of the way. It all has to happen in a flash. So we tend to become comfortable with the functions of the senses as intimately related to myself and my evaluation and analysis of my world and life. And if we lose track of that, they are actually knowledge-acquiring tools. And we start using them as objects of enjoyment. We tend to try to enjoy. We lose focus on what we're really here for, on the knowledge-acquiring aspect of these senses. And this is a major problem in human society now, that the people are unable to control the senses, and they're unable to make effective analysis of information, and they're unable to evaluate it in proper perspective for their own best interest. And this is why we see carte blanche globally. People are not making informed decisions anymore. People are making decisions on the most readily available information. And so you can see how if they limit the type of answers you get on Google search, they limit the kind of information you get on the news. They limit the kind of information you're taught in the school. They limit the kind of information that's there in the public arena, that actually you're not going to be able to make a positive decision from limited information, and it'll most likely not be to your benefit. And therefore, the struggle continues. And when the struggle continues, everyone becomes frustrated. It isn't you, it isn't me. Everybody is frustrated when their desires and attempts and concerns become stymied, stopped. So if your life is becoming stalled and you're finding your inability to get anything done, it means that the information coming into you is limited. And you need to find a way to get around these blockades and use your senses as they're designed, knowledge-acquiring tools. And you start bringing in knowledge from different sources, such that there's more information being correlated in the mind and intelligence. Now, we can do this process such that we rise ourselves up and we have less suffering, we become economically advanced, we may enjoy ourselves better, we may acquire a bit more information. We may become renounced from the situations around us. Fine. But that's not the goal of life. It may better your status in life, but it doesn't necessarily fulfill any answers of the serious questions. Why am I here? How did I get here? Where am I going when I die? Why do I have to die? Why do I have to get old? Why do I have to take another birth? Why am I forced into these circumstances? Why are my relationships such as this? A whole host of serious questions that you have to look deeper at. You have to take a deep analysis, and you have to bring in all of the information that's available to you through the senses, all of the information that's available to you through study, so that you get as much information in place so you can make informed decisions. Now, generally speaking, this is all still we're talking about here on the material platform in your or my predicament in how well our life is going, how much struggle we have. Now, the intelligent person, he goes, wait a minute, this is kind of a futile struggle. I struggle until I get this particular thing, and I enjoy that particular thing for a very short period of time, and then I feel frustration again, and then I desire something else, and I struggle till I get that. Wait a minute, I got a cycle going on here. And this is what we see. Everybody is in a cycle of struggling between happiness and distress. And the real intelligent person, He's saying, how do I put an end to the cycle of distress and happiness? How do I live in happy, informed situation? Okay? So this is what we're supposed to be doing with our senses. We're supposed to be using them to bring in knowledge, truth, correlate that in conjunction with the mind and the mind's investigation into the subject, analyze it all with the intelligence, and then make decisions and act them out with the mind and with the senses such that I make adjustments for my best self-interest. And when I say best self-interest, I mean how to stop the cycles of happiness and distress, the cycles of good and bad, the happiness and distress, heat and cold, all of these things, and be fixed in eternal happiness. Now, the Vedic literature is delineated into the material universe specifically for this task. It teaches you not only about the senses and what they're supposed to be used for, but how to actually control them, and not artificially, how to actually control the senses such that you can enjoy transcendental enjoyment with the senses, not material enjoyment. Now, as I said when I started, the Lord is the Supreme Person, and He has transcendental senses, and we are part and parcel of the Lord, and we have transcendental senses of smaller quantity. But in both instances, real enjoyment is through the transcendental senses. But we're hardly able to see any transcendental aspects unless we're informed. Because externally, we don't see spirit. These are material senses. They see materially. You don't see spirit. There's ghosts around. You don't see them. Someone leaves their body. You don't see the spirit leave the body. There are spiritual beings who visit our planet. You don't see them because our senses are blunt. But if one can learn through the Vedic literature how to engage the senses in transcendental activities, those senses become purified and our true spiritual senses come through. And we do gain these higher powers. We do gain these higher perspectives. And from this particular point of view, we actually can fix ourselves in a transcendental perspective of our lives. This transcendental perspective is fulfilling. This is where we actually get satisfaction. We don't go through the ups and downs. We're equipoised in both happiness and distress, in heat and cold. We're fixed because we have a different reference point. Generally speaking, everyone's reference point is this material world and trying to enjoy and avoid suffering. That's the general reference point for everybody. But for one who works in the transcendental science, his reference point becomes the transcendental activities, service it's called, devotional service. And if he can fix his mind on that devotional service, irrespective of what's going on materially, he develops that taste. He develops the association with the spiritual energy. He becomes purified, and he purifies others around him, and he purifies his activities, and he purifies his future. We're actually looking for eternal happiness, and by spiritual activities, one becomes eternal. You become immortal. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, says you become immortal. So the issue is not a change of senses as much as it is an employment of the senses. These material senses can be purified, and they continue to be used just like you're using them now, but they're used in the transcendental science. They're not used in the material struggle. And the Vedic literature is that information that totally explains the transcendental science and how you, as an individual living entity, can use your free will and use your own intelligence and lift yourself up out of this cycle of anxiety, happiness, distress, and become conscious to always render some type of devotional service and stay in the transcendental mood. So the living entities, we're generally living for enjoyment. The issue isn't that you have to stop enjoying. You have to enjoy transcendentally, because you're trying to enjoy materially, and everybody knows it's temporary and frustrating. A little bit of good, a little bit of bad. A lot of good, a lot of bad. It's just the way it goes. The material world, material nature is like that. So if we come to the platform that we understand how to engage our senses and purify our senses and what is really the goal of life and how to engage in devotional activities, we actually are liberated from this anxiety and suffering. We're guaranteed to go back to Godhead, where the only thing that's going on there is devotional service. So the very same senses that right now are dragging you into, oh, let's try this and see if that's any good. Oh, I want to try something new. Oh, let's try something else. Oh, I'm so unhappy. Oh, why is it that nothing works for me? Why is it I can't see correctly? Why is it I don't like this? I don't like that. Why isn't this last a little bit longer? Those senses that are dragging you around can be engaged in devotional service that is undeviating, unbroken. And you can taste eternal, constant service. And when the mind becomes fixed on this, when the senses become engaged in service, when the living entity recognizes that service is purifying and beneficial and uplifting and is the original occupational duty of all of us, because we all are meant to be servants, then you're answered. Then the struggle stops, liberated from the material entanglement, now, in the future, at death, eternally, immortal status of life. So this is really what we're looking for. We're trying to enjoy constantly on a higher platform, and we're frustrated because we don't know, we haven't been taught how that's done. And so we're doing the next best thing. We're trying to enjoy as much as we can with the temporary material senses, and we always end up with frustrations. You can enjoy for a while, yes, but when it stops, you're frustrated. When something else comes up that bothers you, you're frustrated. You look for something else to try to enjoy to make the frustration go away. And this is the struggle for existence. And you see it all over everybody, everywhere you go. You just have to have a little perspective from the Vedic knowledge, and you can see this going on everywhere. We now see it that everybody becomes angry and belligerent if you disrupt their temporary material sense enjoyment. How dare you? They become aggro and they disrespect you. They make a fool of themselves. They show no respect for their adults. They show no respect for the people they love. They become totally selfish and self-bound, and they become irresponsible and usually difficult to get along with. Because you have broken the minute portion of enjoyment they were experiencing, and they're fearful and angry about the fact that they will go back into another status of anxiety. So everybody goes around trying to be PC, to keep people from slipping out of their very tentative platform of enjoyment, so they don't fall down, and you don't cause them to fall down back into their status of anxiety, which is only a heartbeat away. They say that love and hate are very closely related. Happiness and distress are too. Good and bad are very closely related. So this takes a spiritual master and the Vedic knowledge to inform you of the scientific understanding of the struggle for existence, such that you're able to make a solution. And yet the transcendental science of devotional service is similarly explained. In the Vedic literature, there is a book. It's called The Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamriti Sindhu. And all this book does is explain to you the science of devotional service, such that you come to the high. There's many platforms in it. And you come to the highest platform of developing love of God, of understanding how to be a sincere servant in a natural mellow, a natural experience, such that you please yourself, You please everyone around you. You please the Supreme Lord. You please the spiritual master. And you engage in activities that are unending, unendingly pleasing in the transcendental perspective. So this one book, that's all is in there. It's 400, 500 pages. And it totally is based on a scientific explanation of the science of devotional service. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita as it is an instruction of how to take your mind, and of course your senses too, out of the material perspective of life, because we've all been in it since birth. So it's very natural to us, but it's artificial, because our natural condition, our true, normal condition, is in eternal devotional service. But with our temporary body, our temporary senses, we're living in this material predicament, and we become so accustomed to it, we think, well, this is as good as it gets. And the Vedic literature is here, and Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, is here to tell you, no, that is not as good as it gets. That's as good as you can get in this material arena. But outside the material arena, there's a whole other world of devotional service. And there's unlimited number of vacancies waiting for people just like you and me to come to their senses, control themselves, educate the mind, use the intelligence, move out of material activities into spiritual activities, and pick up one of those vacancies and permanently enjoy like you want. So it isn't that this place is false or wrong. It's a training ground. And if there wasn't some bad in it, you'd just stay here permanently. So there's all sorts of good and bad, duality it's called in the material world, to try to wake you up to the fact, I can't get what I'm looking for here. And if you haven't figured that out, you've been lazy. And you need to relook at it. You can't get what you're looking for here. But you're stuck here until you figure it out and engage in the activities that take you there. The Vedic literature is the book, it is the knowledge that's intended to wake you and educate you and fix you on the platform you're looking for. And then you go there. That's perfection of life. That is the topmost satisfaction. So this is the science of God realization. This is what Vedic literature is for. And we encourage you to read Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is the spiritual master for this planet. Everybody here needs to read the Vedic knowledge written by him in pure, simple English for you to understand. What is your true perspective? This is the grace of the spiritual master. This is the grace of the Lord. This is the importance of the Vedic literature. Take this opportunity. Read Bhagavad Gita as it is. You will be benefited. You can find the platform of perfection you're looking for.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.